Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Ches, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, the 2 dots Shemen. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekosil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shayoshev ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Cheskio ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimis Vega, Chaim ben Yomim Mordechai ben Ida, Yael Bas Bela, Chiskio Shloimis Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmil Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, and El Yochim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf is also being learned by Ilui Nishmas, Yechil Yosef ben Tzvi Betz, Salal, Shloim Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Hoitzah, specifically how much of any particular item one would have to carry in order for him to violate the melacha of Hoitzah. The Mishnah and Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis, at the very end, the Perek Klal Gadol said that in addition to the Klal Gadol, the first Klal, the big Klal, that the Mishnah mentioned in the beginning of the Perek, V'oid Klal Achar Amru, there's another Klal, which was stated specifically with regards to the melacha of Hoitzah. What did the rule say? Kol HaKosher LaHatzniyah, Umatzniyin kamoyu vahitziya b'shabes chayiv chatas olav v'chol she'enoi kosher latzniya ve'en matzniyin kamoyu vahitziya b'shabes enoi chayiv ela matzniyin. Pirish, the only time a person violates the malacha of hoitzah midoiraisa is if he carries something that people value. Not just that, he would have to carry a sheer chashuv of that thing. If, however, he would carry something that people are not matzniya, people don't store away, people don't keep, they easily discard it. Or he would carry something that people are machshev, but less than a sheer of it than people are machshev, then the halach is if he would carry that on Shabbos, b'mezid, he wouldn't be chayiv skila and karis. If he did a b'shoigig, he wouldn't be chayiv achatas. And then the Mishnah in the end of Perek Klal Gadol and in the beginning of Perek HaMotzayayin went on to discuss specific items, how much of it you would have to carry in order for it to be considered a davar chashev. So the Mishnah said that as it relates to shemen, oil, it's kedei losuch ever katan. It's the amount of oil one would need for him to smear an ever katan. Rashi says, what's the definition of an ever katan? It's one of the joints of the pinky. So, echad mi pirkei etzba ketana. Stating that, we can have a little bit of a discussion in the Gemara as it relates to the more precise definition of shemen kedei losuch ever katan. Zok the Gemara. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. It was said over in the yeshiva, Rabbi Yanai, shemen kedei losuch ever katan shel katan ben yoime. In other words, the Mishnah said how much oil, the amount that you would need to smear an ever katan. But it didn't say how big or small the person is. A larger person is going to have a larger ever katan. A smaller person is going to have a smaller ever katan. So in Rav Yana's yeshiva, they said a chiddush. They said that it's very, very chomer. It's kedei losuch ever katan shel katan ben yoimoy. In other words, when the Mishnah says ever katan, the word katan is tarte b'mashma. Katan meaning the smallest ever of the smallest person. For the Gemara is that true? Meis v'shem kedei losuch ever katan v'katan ben yoimoy. The Braisa elaborated on the halacha of the Mishnah, and the Braisa said how much shemen kedei losuch ever katan. That our Mishnah said, and then it continued and said, V'katan ben yoimoy. My love, doesn't it sound like Ever katan de gadol, or V'ever gadol shel katan ben yoimoy? Meaning, it certainly doesn't sound like what Rav Yanai said, because Rav Yanai said, it's Shemen kedei losuch Ever katan shel katan ben yoimoy. If that's what the Braisa believes, then the Braisa should have said that. The Braisa should have said, Shemen kedei losuch Ever katan shel katan ben yoimoy. It's not what it said. It said, Shemen kedei losuch Ever katan V'katan ben yoimoy. The Braisa has a vav as opposed to a shin and a lamed. It's a very big difference. Shell means we're defining ever katan of a katan ben yoimoy. V'katan ben yoimoy sounds like it's another thing. How much shemen? A, kedei losuch ever katan. B, v'katan ben yoimoy. So what are these two things? So the Gemara says probably what it means is either the ever katan of a gadol or the Ever Gadol of a Katan. Hence, it's two separate things. But it's not like Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai said that it's the Ever Katan of the Gadol. So the Gemara says, Amr Lach Tvei Rabbi Yanai, Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they probably knew this Braisa. And the way they were Miyashiv the Braisa was as follows. Hachi Kamar Shemek, they lost a Ever Katan, Shel Katan Ben Yoimai. They swapped out the Vav and replaced it with Shel. So in fact, according to the way the Tvei Rabbi Yanai's Nusach in this Braisa was, the Braisa was saying exactly the way what the Tvei Rabbi Yanai said. So again, again. The Mishnah said, Shemen k'day lasach ever katan, the ever katan of a larger person, of a smaller person. The Rav Yanai said, it's k'day lasach ever katan, shel katan ben yoimai. As if to say, the word katan is tarti ben mashma. So, the Gemara, limik tanoi, would seem to be a machloikis tanam. Shemen k'day lasach ever katan, katan ben yoimai, divi Rav Shemen al-Lazar. So Rav Shemen al-Lazar says exactly what the previous price has said. Shemen k'day lasach ever katan, not shell, but rather vikatan ben yoimai. Rab Nasan said, k'day lasach ever katan. Says the Gemara, my love, there's some machloikas going on over here. It's not clear what the machloikas is. Presumably, b'hagam milfiki. Rab Shimon ben Elazar savar ever katan shell katan. Rab Shimon ben Elazar probably had the meant to say what the Rab Yanai said. Meaning, with the same edit that the Vei Rab Yanai made to the previous brisa. Not k'dei lasach ever katan v'katan ben yoimoy, but rather k'dei lasach ever katan shel katan ben yoimoy. For Rab Nosson savar ever katan de gadol, oy ever gadol de katan. Rab Nosson probably held the other understanding of the brisa, the other shita. You don't need, it's not katan tarti b'mashma, but it's either Ever katan de gadol, hence katan, or it's ever gadol de katan, hence katan. Aval ever katan shal katan ben yoimoy. At first glance, there has to be some machloikas going on over here. We seem to have a little bit of confusion, so it'd be very convenient to say that the machloikas between Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Nasan, and this brisa, which is sasum, is perhaps this shiloh. Devei Rav Yanai is halach, but the Gemara says loy. It's certainly not muchach. Kuli yamei ketavi ever katan de katan ben yoimoy. Maybe everybody holds that the ever katan of the katan is not good. For less is Rav Yanai, and nobody really holds like Rav Yanai. What's the machloikas? Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Some Rashi below that holds ever cotton the gadol the ever gadol the cotton ben yoimer ki adadi nino. What Rav Shimon Elazar was saying was that it's either the shear of the ever cotton of the gadol or it's the shear of the ever gadol of the cotton, not shell, not like the Rav Yanai, but rather it's other, and he holds it's the same shear, and therefore either one of those shearim that somebody would carry would be chayv. Aver ever cotton the Rav Nosson savor as Rav Nosson hold ever cotton the gadol. Yeah, the ever cotton of a gadol I agree with. Aver ever gadol the cotton ben yoimer. But if it would be the ever gadol of a cotton, there he will know not. What was Rav Nosson's lashon? K'day lasach ever cotton. So again, he wasn't clear. So we're just adding a little commentary here. But perhaps what Rav Nosson meant to say was that it has to be the ever cotton of the gadol. But if it's the ever gadol of the cotton, that wouldn't be enough for him to be chayav mishum Shabbos. Bottom line is, my havi Allah, we have brises that are a little bit confusing. We're not even sure what the right girs is. And in one of the brises that the Gemara brought, we had a chiddush that the Rav Yanai said that when the Mishnah said ever cotton, it meant even an ever cotton of a cotton ben yoimai. What's the bottom line? Says the Gemara Tashma, the Tanya Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Shemen k'day lasuch ever katan shel katan ben yoimoy. So at the very least, you see that was in fact Rav Shimon ben Elazar Shita. So the Rav Yanai definitely has support from the Tanam. Zok the Gemara, Mayim k'day lasuch ben esakilo. Omer Abaya said, Mech, kol milsa de shchicha v'loy shchicha, azur abanam basar de shchicha l'kula. The Mishnah gave different shiurim for different mashke, different liquids that if somebody carries on Shabbos, how much of it he would have to carry in order for him to be chai mishum maitzah. So let's just revisit the Mishnah for a moment. Hamoitzi yayin, k'dei mezigus hakoyz. Cholov, k'dei gemiya. Dvash, k'dei lita in alakasa. Shemen, k'dei lasuch ever katan. Mayim, k'dei lasuch behemes hakilo. What's the methodology for everything mentioned in the Mishnah? The methodology is that a person's chai when he carries a shir chashuv. So whatever the minimum shir chashuv is, think of the item that you're carrying, whether it's wine, whether it's oil. What's the thing that I can do with this that would require the smaller share? So you come up with whatever that is, that's the minimum shir chashuv. If somebody carries that, he's going to be chayav. So Abaya said like this, there's certain things that you could do a lot of things with. Some will be more shchiach, meaning people will commonly use water to drink, for example. Some are going to be a little bit less shchiach. It's mavur in the Mishnah, Abaya said, that kol milsa de shchicha v'loy shchicha, that if you have one function, one thing that you can use this for, that's a shchiach thing. And the other one is loy shchiach, also the Rabbanan basa de shchicha l'kula. The Rabbanan assumed the shchiach, even if it's a larger shear, which means it's a kula. Meaning, even if you would have to carry more in order to be chayim mishum Shabbos. Additionally, shchicha v'shchicha, let's say there are two things that you can use this. You can either drink it or you can apply it to some medication. Certainly, the Rabbanan went, basa de shchicha l'chumra. We assume the more shchicha, and we're going to go l'chumra. How so? Abaye demonstrated. Yayin, wine, shtiyasa shchicha.
It's shchich for people to drink wine. It's not so shchich for a person to take wine and put it in an ointment. Use it as part of medication. As a result, therefore, the Rabbanan say, you want to know what the minimum shear of yayin is? I don't know. What's the minimum amount of wine that somebody would put into a kais yafa, into a kais bracha? But we're talking in terms of drinking the wine, because that's shchiach. Anything else that somebody might do with wine is loy shchiach. And even though it would come out of kula, because maybe if somebody would replace wine with something else as part of a medication, maybe you wouldn't even need as much wine. So maybe if you would carry even less than that, you would be chayav. We don't care. We're going to go basa the shchicha l'kula. The same would be true chalav. Achilasa is shchicha. To eat or to drink milk is shchiach. Refuah is loy shchiach. To use it as part of refuah is loy shchiach. As a result, as Rabbanan basachilah, so the kula. So again, the Rabbanan said that what's the share as it relates to chalav? I don't know. What's the smallest amount that's considered eating or drinking? Kidei gemir with an ayin, with an olive. But that's what it's based on. What do you mean? Maybe somebody will take his oil, mix it into an ointment, even a lesser share. Who cares? That's loy shchiach. We're gonna assume the shchiach, even if it's going to result in a kula. Another example, dvash, achilasa shchicha, refuasa shchicha. Dvash, people often use for food, of course, and people used to use dvash for a dvar refu as well. It's for that reason, said Abai, this is the second rule I see in the Mishnah. Az Rabban bas Rasa l'chumra. The Rabban said that let's assume the chumra, meaning people eat it and people use it as an ointment. Okay, so what's the smallest thing of the two? It's to use it as a refuah, to put it on top of a kossis. As a result, that goes down as the shir. Hello, but Abaye said, this is what I don't understand. My mechti, shtiyasa, shchich, refuasa, lo shchicha. It's shchich for people to drink water. It's not shchich for people to use water as part of a refuah. If that's the case, my time, also Rabban and Basra, of chumra. So Abaye had a kashi, said, why do Rabban go to chumra and say that how much water does a person have to carry in order for him to be chayiv? So the Mishnah said, could they lash up emesakil, the amount of water that somebody would add into an eye ointment? He says, why is it dependent on the eye ointment? That's a loy shchiach for somebody to use water for that. It's more shchiach for somebody to drink the water. So drinking would be a larger shear. Kedei gemiyah perhaps, maybe a revias. It should be a larger shear. So if it's a larger shear, so why do Rabbanan go l'chumra? Abaye said, I see from the Mishnah two rules. One rule is that you go l'chumra, but another rule I see is that if one thing is shchiach and the other thing is loy shchiach, you go basa the shchicha l'kula. So if that's the case, being that by mayim it's more shchiach to drink it than it is to use it as part of a medication, wouldn't it make sense to assume that the amount of water you'd have to carry in order to be chayiv is a larger share of l'chumra? Or, I mean, even if it's l'kula, Amar Abaye, Abaye said, the Teretz is b'galilo shano. The Tana, the Mishnah, was talking in the Galil. Rashi says in the Galil, people were very poor and they often would use water for medication. As a result, it comes out that that's also shchiach. So the shtiyah is shchiach. To use it as a refuah is shchiach. Being that they're both shchiach, then you go l'chumra. If one is shchiach and one is loy shchiach, then you go basa the shchiach, even the kula. But if they're both shchiach, you certainly go l'chumra. Rava said a different thing. It doesn't have to mean in the Galil. Kiddush Shmuel, Pshat is like Shmuel. Dama Shmuel, Shmuel said, kol shakiani. Shmuel was a doctor, and Shmuel gave a lot of medical advice in Shas. One of the things he said is that all medications are good for the eye. He was talking about specific eye medications, umetlali. However, if a person is going to apply this salve to his eye, so he's going to have some temporary eye loss. But eyesight, however, if a person would take water and he would mix it to it, then it's not going to affect his eyesight, even in the short term. So it comes out that water to apply tequilar to this eye ointment is actually a good thing, being that it's a going thing, it's actually shchiach, and that's why the Chachamim said it's shchiach shchiach. That's why they ran with that. We'll get back to this Gemara, Nes Hashem, and the raid bite. The Shar Kol HaMashkin Berevius. All other mashkin that were not mentioned in the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah came up with the minimum shear for wine, for milk, for honey, for oil, and for water. What about all other mashkin? So then you have the standard shear, it's rivius, tan rabbanon, dam. How much blood does a person have to carry in order to be chai v'shumaitza on Shabbos? V'chol mine mashkin, or other mashkin, rivius. Halach zrib, shimon alazah, shimon alazah says, dam, it's a different shear. It's kidei likcha ba'ayinachas, it's the amount of blood that a person would use to apply to his eye for refuah. Where do you find that people apply blood to their eye for refuah? Shekein koichalin lebarkis. Because there's a certain condition called barkis. It sounds like something is protruding from the eye, as we'll see. It was something that was nikar mibachutz. If someone has barkis, someone looking at him would know. So the refuah for that was blood. So the amount of blood that you would need to apply to one eye that's suffering from barkis,
That's the shir chashiv. If somebody carries that on Shabbos, he's going to be chayv. Says the Gemara, which blood was the blood? Is it all blood? No, it's dama de tarnegoilis bara. It's a very specific blood. It's the blood that comes from this wild rooster. Shem Gamliel, Shem Gamliel says dam kedei lichabal ayinachas. Shem Gamliel says something very similar to what Shem Ben Elazar said. Yeah, you want to know the minimum shir of dam a person would have to carry, the amount that you need to apply to an eye. Shekain koichal in the yarut. Because if someone is suffering from a cataract issue, so what he would do is he would apply blood to the eye that has the cataract. My new witch blood, dama de krushtina. It's the blood of a mole, the simonich. A good way to remember that the blood of the tarnegoilis bara is applied for barkis, and the blood of the krushtina is applied for yarud, for cataracts, is gava le gava and bara le bara. A cataract is an internal issue. This protrusion is an issue that's external. The yarud, the krushtina, was a domesticated creature. It lived in the yishuv. It was part of the family. So as a result, it's something that's gava, and the gava is for the gava. That's used for the condition. That's an internal condition. Whereas the tarnegoilis bara used to drezach outside of the yishuv. So that's the one that's used for this barkis, which is the condition that's external. Either way, the brisa continues and says, "When is this halacha true? If there's someone that carries, if somebody puts something away, kol shuchayev." Then you'll be. The moral explain. Shimon says, "Bemedvar mamur b'matznia, aval b'moitzi eni chayv ela b'revias." We'll see what this means. The Braisa concluded, the Braisa began discussing different mashkin, what the shear is, how much of it is considered chashuv. If somebody carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chayav. We spoke about blood. Usually revias, although there's two types of bloods that if somebody would carry even less than a revias, the amount that it would take to apply to one eye for someone that's suffering from either one of the two conditions that were mentioned in the Gemara, you'd be chai for that as well. All other mashkin is always going to be revias. And then the Braisa concluded a little bit ambiguously, and that is b'med dvarim amurim b'moitzi. Avo b'matznia, if you hide something, kol shehu. Doesn't matter how little you hide, you're chai. Feit gemara otmatznia la moitzi wa. This is a new malacha. You're not allowed to hide things. You're only allowed to hide. What does that even mean? We're discussing the malacha of Haitzah. Haitzah means carry. Mirshus lushus. Talad amas pishus harabim. What does it mean? Matznia afilu kolshu. Amar abayis, abayis. Let me explain. What the time of the Bryce meant to say was, we were dealing with a Talmud Shamalei Rabbi. His Rebbe told him, Lechu panayli amachem lasuda. Go clean up. I want to sit down and eat a meal. Halachu panaloi. He went ahead and he cleaned up. Davar chashuv. Lakol chayv. If there was a davar chashuv lakol, something that everybody considers chashuv, and then he carried it, he's going to be chayv for the malach of Eitzah. Davar she'enei chashuv lakol. If there was something that's not chashuv lakol, i'atznei rabbi, if his rebbe considers it to be chashuv, mechayv ilabei, he would be chayv for carrying it, v'iloi, and if not, he wouldn't be chayv. Abaye gave a long-winded answer with a mashal, really to make a very simple point. The point that Abaye is trying to make is that when the Braisa says, bad medvar mamurim b'moitzi, avol b'matznia kol shehu, not that if someone's matznia, he's chayev chatas. Not if someone's matznia, he was mechal Shabbos. There's no malach on Shabbos called matznia. That's obviously not what it means. What it means is that ordinarily there's a shear of how much of something you would have to carry in order to violate the malacha. But that's only min hastam. However, if you're matznia something pachis mikashir, then by virtue of you being matznia, you're giving it chashivos. So if you give it chashivos, that in and of itself, you're going to be chayev for. Who said this, by the way? The Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. The Mishnah said that even though the Shiurim, as it relates to the Malachas of Eitzah, however, if somebody would carry Pachas Mikashir, Einei Chayev Ela HaMatzniya. The Matzniya himself is always going to be Chayev, because once you Matzniya something, you're going to be Chayev. And that's what the Braisa meant when it said that Lo Yishanu Ela Moitzi Avo Matzniya. You're not Chayev for being Matzniya. If you're Matzniya, and then you carry the thing you're Matzniya, even if it's a Kolshu, you're going to be Chayev. So why did Abaye give such a long-winded answer? Why did Abaye say a Mashal with a Rebbe and a Talmud clean up, and then he cleaned up something that the Rebbe held was Chashev, and then he carried it? So Rashi says that there's only one reason that Abaye gave such a long answer, and that is because he knew that the Tana of the previous Braisa is Rav Shimon Elazar. In fact, if you look at the Braisa, what did the Braisa say? Dan v'chol minei mashkin b'revias. Rav Shimon Elazar was the one who got involved in the Tarnegoilis Bara with this condition of Yarud and Krishtina, right? It was in Rav Shimon Gamlir, Rav Shimon Elazar, the two Tana mentioned. We had a Rav Shimon Elazar on Daf Ayin Hayam and Beis. Rav Shimon Elazar said that just like if somebody's matzniya something and then he carries it, he's chayev, even if it's less than a shear. The halacha is if Reuven would be matznia something and then Shimon would carry it, Shimon would be chai for that as well. Meaning this, that the matznia makes a difference is even if
the person that's matzni is not the one that carried. If one person's matzni and somebody else carries, that's enough for him to already be chayiv. Being that Reb Shimon ben Elazar is the Tana of this braisa, so Abaye gave a mashal that would bring out even Reb Shimon ben Elazar's own chiddush that we know from Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis. And therefore, he said that if a Talmud's cleaning up for his Rebbe and he sees something that's not chashuv lakoil, but the Rebbe himself is matzni, the Rebbe himself is machshav it, then if the Talmud carries it, he's going to be chayiv because this is all Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Everybody agrees that if somebody would carry shayfchin l'rishus harabim, shayfchin means water or some sort of liquid that you're not going to use. So the halach is how much of it are you not allowed to carry, or how much of it if you carry are going to be chayiv for? Do you violate the malachim of the raisa? So the shir is a revius. Says we're shayfchin l'maychaz. So what is it? It has no value. So l'churi you should never be chayiv for carrying shayfchin. I'm Rabbi Yirmi. Rabbi Yirmi said it's not true. L'gabal and asatit. You can use it to mixed together with tit, together with mud, then you can, it can actually have has a purpose. But Tanya Feita Gemara, can't be that's what it's used for. Why? Because the price says tit. How much tit do you have to carry in order to be chayiv on Shabbos? Because they last spend pikur. It's a very small share. It's the amount that you would need to cover the opening of a kor. So we're going to see a lot about a kor on Amud Beis. There were different types of kors, but a kor is a crucible, which in English, that is English, but what that means is this is some sort of keli that got really, really hot that they would use to make different types of metals. They would melt. So there was a core that was used for Zav, and there was a core that was used for Kesef, and there was a core that was used for Nechayshes, depending on whether it's a goldsmith or a coppersmith or a blacksmith. That determined the type of core he used. So the way they would cover this core is with tit. So the amount of tit that you would need to stuff the opening of a kor, that's how much you need to be chayv. What's the kasha? How could you tell me that the shayfchin are chashuv because they're used to knead together with the tit, but how much shayfchin do I need? I need a whole revius. What do you mean? The tit itself, I don't need a revius. I just need a tiny bit of tit. So it should be enough water to knead together with a tiny bit of tit. If the tit has a chashivos, if you can use it, lasos behen pikor, then doesn't it make sense that the amount of water that you would need to create that tit, to knead together with it, should be the amount of water you would need, which is much smaller than the shear that the Mishnah gave, much smaller than the revius. The Gemara says, no, loy kasha, hada migbo, hada loy migbo, lefisha, ein adam tirech, legabal tit las pikor. If you have tit already, then you're right. A little bit of tit is going to be considered chasha. If, however, you don't have it, you want to now go make it, no one's going to go and go through the tircha, the bother, the schlep of kneading a tiny bit of tit. No one's going to do that. So you're going to only make a larger quantity. You'll use them in smaller quantities, but you're not going to create it in such a small quantity. You're going to create it in a larger quantity. As a result, the tit that's already gavul is considered chashuv, even if it's very, very small. However, the water that you would need to make the tit would have to be a larger amount of water, because if you don't have the larger amount of water, you're just not doing it. Zok the Mishnah Vayeter. If somebody carries a rope, so how big does the rope have to be? Kedei lasos oizen lekupa. Big enough that you can make a handle for a basket with it. Gemi. If somebody carries reeds, that's like something very soft, like grass, it's kedei lasos taloy lenafi lekivra. Big enough that you can make a loop to hang your sieve from. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's kidei lito mimenu midas mina lekatan. So people used to use gemi to size people's feet so they can bring it to the shoemaker to figure out how big this person's foot is, so to know how big the shoes should be. So it was used as a measuring tape. So if it's big enough that you can use you can measure the foot of even a child, that would be chashiv. Now, if somebody carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chayiv. Niyar, if somebody carries the paper, they lichtaval of kesha muchzeh. It has to be big enough that you can write on it a kesha muchzeh. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Vahamoitzi kesha muchzeh chayiv. By the way, if somebody carries a kesha muchzeh, he's chayiv. Niyar machuk. What if somebody has a piece of paper, but it's a race? He can't write anything on it. Then it's kidei lichr chad sluchis kitana shal plaitin. Big enough that you can wrap a jug with it. This is of Lotzer al pitzul chisay fame of Perik Shnai Moichsen and of different places in Sefer Nezikin. How much parchment would a person have to carry? They last as kameya. Big enough or small enough that you can make a kameya. Cloth. Gemara will say, what's the difference between ur and cloth? They're both parchments. It has to be big enough that you could write the smallest parashah of tefillin. Shehi Shema Yisrael. Not just the word Shema Yisrael. The whole parashah of Shema Yisrael. The yoy, ink. How much ink? Enough ink that you can write two letters. Choyl, that's eye makeup. Enough that you can put on one eye. Devek,
glue, k'dei litum b'roish ha-shafshat. The Gemara will explain what that is. Zephes v'gofris, tar and pitch, k'dei lasis nekev, enough to stuff a hole. Shaiva, wax, k'dei litum alpi nekev katan, also to plug a hole. Charosis, Rashi says, levena ketusha, that's a crushed brick. So how much charosis, k'dei lasis pikur shal tzarfez of? Enough to make the opening of this crucible that was used by the goldsmiths. Rabbi Yehuda says, k'dei lasis pitput, and it has to be big enough that you can make a pitput. So Rashi, if you take a look, Dibra Maskel Pitput describes a tripod and then says, Kagon tripod. Subin, brand, Kadelitan Alpi Kursal Tsarif is up. People used to sometimes plug the crucible that was used by the goldsmiths with Subin, with brand, so that would be the smallest amount. Sid lime, Kadelasid Katana Shebabanois to be able to put on a very small girl. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Kadelasis Kilkel enough to flatten the hair on the temples of the girl. Rabbi Nechemia, Kadelasid Rundapi to put on the girl's forehead. Either way, it's a technical Mishnah. And we're going to have a corresponding technical Gemara. Chevel, says the Gemara. So what did the Mishnah say? How much of a chevel would you have to carry? What's considered chashim in order to be chayiv on Shabbos? A mitzi chevel, k'dei lasos oizen l'kupa. Big enough that you can make a handle for a basket. What about gemi reed? So there was enough that you can hang a nafa and a kivra. So it would seem that the handle for the basket was bigger than the little rope that was used to hang the nafa and the kivra. Hence the Gemara's question. Why is this shir such a big shir? It should be a little bit smaller. It should be that even if it's just big enough to hang the nuf and the kivra. So the Gemara says, because even the charek, being that the rope was thick, the mono lay avdi inchi, people didn't use it to hang on anything, because unless you're going to hang it on wood, it's going to cause the wood to rub out a little bit. People dafke used to use something soft. So they didn't use the chevel. The chevel was used for a handle, for a basket, and the gemi was used to hang the nuf and the kivra. The reasoning that the Mishnah gives for the two respective things are actually very, very precise. Tanu Rabbanon, hutzin. So hutzim a palm frond. Like think of a lulav. K'dei lasos oizen l'sal kfifa mitzvot. That's big enough if you can make a handle for a kfifa mitzvot. Siv, what about siv is the vine that goes around the palm tree? Zacher Meimrin, also known as Rameir. K'dei liten al pi mashbach katan l'san asayayim. People would use it sometimes to sift wine. Revav, grease. K'dei lasos tachas as Spagin, kitana. Spagin is like a cookie or a wafer, something that you're baking, so you smear a little oil on it, so the amount of, or a little grease, so the amount of grease that you would need to put on the bottom of a small cookie, that's already a shir chasha. The Kamish you have, what's that shir? Kisela. Faith, remember, time you learn somewhere else, kigroigris, seems to be a steer. It's the same shir. Muchin, what about stuffing, such as cotton or something like that? K'dei lasos katan kitana to make a small ball, like a cotton ball. The Kamish shirai, how small ke'ego is, like an ego is niyar, k'dei lichtoiv olav, kesha muchsin. So what exactly was this kesha muchsin? So Rashi on the bottom of Ayin Chesem and Aleph, I think it's kedai to see the Rashi inside, gives us a little bit of a description of it. The last Rashi on the Yomid. Yesh lecha adam shenoisin ha-mechas l'roish ha-nar. There was a concept that if you wanted to cross a river, so you had to pay a toll, you had to pay a tax. Then you would give it to the roish ha-nar, whoever was the balabas. B'makim echad, once you paid, or if you had a voucher, maybe you didn't have to pay, so the Rosh Hanar would give the person a chaysam, a receipt of some sort. This was his way of knowing that he's allowed to cross the river. The derech was that they would write two oisiyos. They were very large oisiyos. This is the way it was. Says the Gemara, Tana, Kama Kesher Muchsin. What is the shear of Kesher Muchsin? Shtei Oisiyos. And if you look at the Maseres Hashas, Biksav Yevani, two Greek letters, which means two large letters. Is that true? It sounds like that it doesn't have to be Oisiyos Gedolos. It sounds like even regular Oisiyos, even Lashon Kodesh Oisiyos would be enough. So here you're telling me that the Niyar has to be big enough that you can write on it two Oisiyos Gedolos. Here it's Mashma, that doesn't have to be big enough for you to be able to write two Oisiyos Gedolos. I'm Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes said, Mai Shtei Oisiyos? Shtei Oisiyos Shal Kesha Mochsin. You could always be Matchik. That you're right, the Braisa is a little bit vague. It sounds like two oisiyos. You think of two oisiyos, you think of an aleph and a beis. You don't think of two Greek letters. True, but says Rav Sheshes, that's probably what it means. It means shtei oisiyos shel kesher muchsin. Rava Amar, Rava said shtei oisiyos didon. No, really, when the Brai said shtei oisiyos, it means shtei oisiyos. It said what it meant, and it meant what it said. So, how does it reconcile? Ubeis achiza. Dahainu kesha muchs. However, the Braisa was giving you a little bit more space. And that is the amount of space you would need to hold this piece of paper without covering any of the letters. A little bit of a border. So when you add the letters and the border together, what you're going to end up with is actually the equivalent of the Oisius Gedos. So the two Greek letters are the equivalent of two letters of Lashon Kodesh together with a border. Zok the Gemara, Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha from a Braisa. So again, so we have two pshatim in what the Braisa meant when it said Shtei Oisius. Either it meant Shtei Oisius shel kasha muchsam, two Greek letters, or it meant two letters of Lashon Kodesh, add on the borders. I might see Niyar Machuk. If somebody carries a Niyar Machuk, or Vishtar Perua, or a shtar that was already paid. So over there, what's the shear? The shear was not the amount that you would need to write to Oisius on it. Why not? Because you can't write to Oisius on it. So what did Mishnah say? It's Kedei Lichrech Atzluchis Ketanus Al Plaitan. It's Lotzra Pitzel Chisay, the amount that you'd be able to tie Atzluchis together. So the Braisa says it a little bit differently. Braisa says, Im Yesh Beloibin Shalai, if on the borders there's enough white space, Kedei Lichrech Shtei Oisius, to write to Oisius, Oi Bekulai, or the entire paper is big enough, Kedei Lichrech Al Pitzluchis Ketanus Al Plaitan, Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv. Vimla Poti and Akari Poti. So the Braisa says what the Mishnah said, but it added something obvious. Meaning the Braisa said that if it's big enough to Lotzra Pitzel Chisay, then of course it's Chashav. If you carry it on Shabbos, you're going to be chayv. But the Braisa says that just because it's a Niyar Machuk doesn't mean you can't write anything on it. It's fine if it's a Niyar Machuk. You just have to make sure you're able to write two letters. So the Braisa says there is an option B. There is another way you could be chayv midai Raisa. If it's big enough, the border, where you'd be able to write two oisis. So the Gemara says like this. Bishlam, the Rav Sheishas, Nama Maish, Deyosh, Deyosh, Shal Kashem, Buchsin. Bishlam, according to Rav Sheishas, said when the first Braisa said that if you carry a Niyar that has on it space, Kedei Lichtav Shtei Oisius. What did it mean? Even though the Braisa just said Shtei Oisius, which sounds a lot like it means Lashon Kodesh. Really, you meant Oisius Gedolus. So this Braisa also means Oisius Gedolus. I have no problems with this Braisa. It's a wonderful Braisa. But El Rav, Adama Shtei Oisius, Didana Beis Achliso. But how did Rav attach the word Shtei Oisius in the previous Braisa? He said Shtei Oisius means Oisius of Lashon Kodesh. I thought it has to be bigger than that. It's two Oisius plus a border. So presumably, this Braisa means the same thing. When the Braisa says, if you carry a Niyar Machuk or a Shtar Perua, in Yesh Beloibin Shaloi, Kedei Lichtov Shtei Oisiyos, what does Shtei Oisiyos mean? Enough space for two Oisiyos and a border, a Beis Achiza. Freik the Gemara, L'chura over here, Hacha Beis Achiza Leitzarech. You shouldn't need the Beis Achuza. Why shouldn't you need the Beis Achiza? Not a Beis Achuza. Why shouldn't you need the Beis Achiza? Because the machuk part of the niyar could serve as the beis achiza. So if the definition of the word shtei oisius means oisius kitanois plus a beis achiza, why did the Braisa say shtei oisius? You don't need the beis achiza. Ordinarily, if all you have is a little piece of paper, so okay, you need the beis achiza. But here you have a big piece of paper. It's just you're discounting the part that you can't write on. Okay, so I can't write on it, but I can use it as a beis achiza. If the Braisa said I still need two oisius, so it's a writer of sheishes that the definition of the word shtei oisius means shtei oisius kedailus. It's very good. You need room for shtei oisius kedailus. But like Rava, that the definition is oisius ketanus plus the beis achiza. I have the Beis Achiza. I don't need that extra space. Why should I need extra space over here? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Says the Gemara, it's good Kasha. Kasha. Tanu Rabbanon, Amitza Kasha Muchsin. If somebody carries a Kasha Muchsin, actually, roll the Muchsin until he shows it to the Muchis, Chayev. Mishar roll the Muchis, Pater. Meaning, once you pass you cross the bridge, you technically don't need the receipt anymore. So at that point, you're going to be Pater. Why? Meaning, until you cross the bridge, you need it to show that you paid. As a result, it's chashav, you carry it, you're going to be chayav. Once you showed it to whoever you need to show it to, your easy pass was scanned, so at this point, you're done. So what do you need it for? If you carry it, you're going to be potter. Rabbi Huda says, af misharu l'muchas chayav. No, even if you show it to the muchas, you're still going to be chayav. Why? Because you still need it. Says, my benayo, meaning what's the machlokes? I'm rabayo. Ike benayo rehiti muchsa. One nafkamina is rehiti muchsa. Sometimes Rashi describes in actually dramatic detail that people would run after people who cross bridges to tell them, I want you to prove to me that you really paid. He was like, what do you mean? I had a muchas, I gave it to the guy. Really prove it to me. And they would slap him back and they would sit in traffic and it wasn't geschmack. So it's in the person's interest to walk around with his receipt as long as he possibly can. So in case anybody ever questions whether or not he actually paid, he shouldn't have to go through the bother of
of standing in front of this person and proving, like, this is just easy. Keep it with you. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said that you, even after you show it to the muchas, you're going to be chayiv, because you never know. You might need it. Rav, I'm a Rav, says, muchas gadol, muchas gadol, give me chayiv. Sometimes there were two muchases. So there was the muchas gadol, and there was the muchas katan. So you may have gotten clearance from the muchas gadol, but the muchas katan doesn't know. And the muchas katan is probably the guy who's going to drive you crazy. And as a result, you want to still show it to the muchas katan. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you didn't show it to the muchas katan yet, it's still chashiv, you could still use it. If you carry it, you're still going to be chayiv. Rav Ashi said, no, chad muchas igabeinayu. It's very simple. It's good for a person to have this. People wanted to have these receipts on their credit. They would keep it around. We'll see more about this in tomorrow's daf. But there was a concept that, you know, people like to build credit. So like this, no, what do you mean? I paid and I crossed the bridge and I paid again. And you show your easy pass receipts. And regardless, so even though the person technically paid and he already crossed the bridge, he's not worried about somebody driving him crazy. There's no muchas katan that he has to deal with. But just simply, from a credit standpoint, this was considered a beneficial thing to have. It's still chashuv. As a result, if somebody would carry it on Shabbos, he would be chayiv exhale. So just a few ha'aras, bullet point style, just to wrap together some of the raid that we spoke about over the last couple of days. So the topic du jour has been the melacha of haitzah, specifically the other klal, not the klal gadol, the other klal, the oid klal achar amru, that was mentioned not at the beginning of parak klal gadol, but at the end of parak klal gadol, in the Mishnah daf ayin heyamid beis, that said that the only time a person is chayiv for the malacha vaitzah is if he carries something chashav. Not only does he have to carry something chashav, but umatzni and kamayu, it has to be a sheer chashav. And if you would carry something that's not chashav, or you'd carry something chashav, but not a shear that people actually would ever do something with, talach is, you're not going to be chayiv. And then, amazingly, the Mishnah started going into item by item, literally walking around the house and saying, how much of this, how much of that? Open up the refrigerator, open up the pantry, the closet, literally item by item. We're just getting started. We're going to see a lot more of this. It's very technical. And the time of the Mishnah went to great lengths to go through different items, how much of it is considered chashav, how much of it would you need to carry in order to violate the 39th malacha, the malacha of haitzah. The Pnei Yeshua, right in the beginning of the 8th parak, a parak HaMaitzi Yayin, makes a very interesting observation. He says there's a fundamental difference in the sugya between carrying oichlin on Shabbos versus carrying mashkin on Shabbos. As it relates to oichlin, the Mishnah said on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis, it was very, very brief. HaMaitzi oichlin, if somebody carries oichlin, how much do you have to carry to be chayiv? Kegroigras. If you carry the amount of a dried fig, chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. Umitztarfim zemzeh. Then the Mishnah said, all foods are mitztarif. You know why? Because they all have the same shear. It doesn't matter what the food is. The shear is always going to be the same. The shear is always going to be kegroigras. What about mashkin? Oh, then it's already complicated. And then afterwards, mashkin. But then we saw in the Gemara, Bryson, today's daf dam, different types of bloods have different shiur. The point is that as it relates to oichlin, the shiur is always the same. It's always kegregris. But when it comes to mashkin, then different mashkin are treated differently. Freik the Pnei Yeshua, why is it that all oichlin were created equally as it relates to the malacha vaitzah? And why is it that there's so much distinction and the sugi zashas as it relates to mashkin? And the Pnei Yeshua says a teretz, but the underlying yusoid of the Pnei Yeshua's teretz is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush tucked away right here on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis. It's something that we could take with us for Shas. It's something that the Chassam Sofer was very excited about, as we'll see in a moment. The background to the chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua is the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. We mentioned this Gemara earlier in the week. It's a Gemara that we've gone through many, many times together as a Chabura. The context over there is, what is the Makar of the Shiurim? So we know different halachas, different Isurim, different mitzvahs, they have a shir. So you're not allowed to eat Nevela, but there's a shir called Kazais. There's a mitzvah to eat Matzah. There's a shir. There's different Shiurim that permeate all the halachas in the Torah. There's two Gemaras. One Gemara says, Shiurim are halacha l'moshe misina. There's another Gemara. The Gemara says, the Pasuk talks about the Shivas Aminim, the Perish and the Shtapcha by Meretz Yisrael. Eretz Chita U'Sa'ira. V'Gefen U'Te'ena V'Rimoin. Eretz Zayis Shemen U'Devash. And the Gemara says, Kol HaPasuk Kula,
The entire pasuk is l'shiurim nemro. It was said for the shiurim. Chita represents a shir in halacha, and te'ena represents a shir in halacha, and gefen and tsa'ira and zayis roif shiureh because and then devash is the kosevus agas. And the entire pasuk is talking about different shiurim. And the Gemara asks astira. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Which one is it? Are the shiurim halacha l'moshe mi'sinai or the shiurim learnt out from this pasuk? And the Gemara gives an obvious answer. The Gemara says that really it's halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. However, vasmechinu akra. There's an asmachta for this halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. The halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, known as the shiurim chatzitzen u'mechitzen halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, shogur b'fi chazal. But this halacha l'moshe mi'sinai of shiurim really have an asmachta in a pasuk. Which pasuk? The eretz chita v'so'ira v'gefen u'teina v'rimoin eretz zayah shem and udvash. Here's the chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua. Says the Pnei Yeshua, nirla niyaz daiti, that the Gemara said in many, many places that the shiurim are halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. It's only the shiurim that have an asmachta in the pasuk of the Shivas Aminim. But any shiur that doesn't have an asmachta in that pasuk of the Shivas Aminim, any shiurim that have nothing to do with the chito, the sa'oira, the gefen, the te'ena, and the rimoin, or the zei shemen, or the vash, they're not included in the halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Shiurim are halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, but not all shiurim. The shiurim that the Gemara said, asmechinu akra, the Gemara already said that this shiurim asmechinu akra. Okay, so there were only seven. But all the other shiurim that are mentioned in Chazal, that aren't anywhere referenced or hinted to in this pasuk, they have nothing to do with halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that one of the shiurim that are mentioned in this pasuk is te'ena. A te'ena is a fig. What does a fig have to do with anything? Says the Gemara, a fig is very important because you know where that's negeya? It's negeya the Hilcha Shabbos. Because all Isurei Shabbos that relate to Oichlin, the shir is kechoseves. It's kegregris. That's the shir. The shir is a te'ena. So says the Gemara that you want to know what the te'ena represents. It's kegregris v'hoitzah Shabbos. It says hoitzah, but it's not dafka hoitzah. It's all isurim that relate to achila. Which means that the gregris has a makar in the pasuk of eretz chitu sa'ir v'gefen te'ena v'rimay eretz zei shem v'dvash. But it doesn't say anything about mashkin as it relates to the melachos of Shabbos. It says kegregris leitzah Shabbos, which is for oichlin. It doesn't say anything about mashkin. So says the Pnei Yeshua, you want to know why the Mishnah said that when it comes to amoitzi oichlin kegregris chayiv umitztarfin zem zem ibnei sheshavim b'shurim, why don't we look at each food and figure out what's the smallest function I could do with an apple and with an orange and start going through all the different foods. We'll figure out what the shear is. Says the Pnei Yeshua, because halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, there's nothing to talk about. The halacha l'moshe mi'sinai said te'ena kegregris leitzah Shabbos. So there's nothing for us to figure out. But the shear of Mashke was never mentioned in the pasuk. And there was no Allah l'moshe mi'sinai for that, says the Pnei Yeshua. So if there was no Allah l'moshe mi'sinai for that, so what's the shear? We have to figure it out on our own. So you know what happened? Pnei Yeshua says the Torah must have given over the rights, the power of attorney to the Chachamim to figure out what is the appropriate shear. You figure it out, Chachamim. It was Masra HaKos of the Chachamim. And that's why Chachamim had no choice but to figure it out. So they had to figure out, okay, what's the shear for Yayin? What's the shear for Cholov? What about Dvash? What about Shemen? What about Mayim? If there would be Halacha L'moshe mi'sinai, there's nothing to figure out. But there is no Halacha L'moshe mi'sinai. By Oichlin, there was Halacha L'moshe. You have two Mishnayos on the same Amid. I involve Amid Beis. One is right before the words Hadron Halach Klal Gadol, and the other is right after the words Hadron Halach Klal Gadol. But it's like Roi Yizeh, Keroi Yizeh. The first Mishnah, the Mishnah on the top of the Amid, is based on a Gemara in Brachis Memalef and in many places in Shas, that Eretz Chito Sa'ir V'Gefen, Ute'ena, emphasis on te'ena, that's one of the shiurim of halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. It's one of the shiurim of, as it relates to all the shiuri at Torah. And there it's kegregris leitzah Shabbos. And that's why there's nothing to talk about. The Chazal didn't have to get involved in it. They knew what it was. And it's the same shiur, that's why they're all mitzvah. It all comes from the same pasuk, which is an asmachta of the same halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Where the Chachamim had to get involved is where they didn't have an halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Where the shir wasn't referenced in the pasuk. And that's why for Oichlin it's all one shir. But for Mashkin, each one is individual because we don't have halacha l'moshe mi'sinai for Mashkin. But the takeaway from this Pnei Yeshua, as geshmak as it is in terms of understanding the sugyas that we're learning right now, but it's much bigger than our sugyas. There's a major takeaway over here. The Pnei Yeshua seems to be saying that although Chazal say that shiurim, chatzitzin, and mechitzin were halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, it's not all shiurim. It's only the shiurim that have the asmachta from the pasuk of Eretz Chitu Sa'ira. But as it relates to any other shiur that you can come up with that has no reference in this pasuk, that shiur is not going to be related to the halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. What is it?
It's Masra Kosov L'Chacham. The Chacham had a right to try to figure out and interpret it on the Da'iraisa level. But it's all Masra Kosov L'Chacham. Now, the truth is, this Pnei Yeshua is a very, very big Kiddush. Because if you think about it a little bit, you go through different Sugis Hashas, it's clear that there are many places where the Rishonim talked about different Shiurim that are not mentioned in that Pasuk and referred to it as Halacha L'Moshe Messina. I'll just mention two that we've spoken a lot about as a Chabura. The first is Rashi in Sukkah Dabez Amin Aleph says, Sukkah Shigavoy L'Mayla Me'asr Ma'amu Psula. That means it's a sheer Sukkah. It can't be less than 10 Tvachim, can't be taller than 20 Amos. Where does it come from? Rashi, Sukkah, Bez Amin Aleph. It's related to Halacha L'Moshe Messina. What's the Halacha L'Moshe Messina? Presumably the Shiurim that were Halacha L'Moshe Messina. The Tshuvas HaRosh. The Rosh says, the Mishnah says in Ovis, Ben Yud Gimel Mitzvahs. When a boy turns 13, he becomes bar mitzvah. When a girl turns 12, she becomes bas mitzvah. What's the makar to that? How do you know 13, 12? There's no pasuk in the Torah. Where does it come from? Says the Rosh, it's from the shiurim that were nemar, halacha l'moshe v'sinai. There's no mention in the pasuk about yud gimel and yud beis. There's no mention in the pasuk about a shir sukkah. Yet you see the Rishonim described them as being sourced in a halacha l'moshe v'sinai, which at first glance is not like this Pnei Yeshua. However, the Pnei Yeshua, although he was an achron, was an early achron, and the Pnei Yeshua, it's a chirechit mit the Rishonim ki yodua, and it's a Pnei Yeshua right here in the beginning of the 8th parak of parak HaMaitzi Yayin, that there's a distinction between the shiurim that are merumas in the pasuk and the shiurim that are not merumas in the pasuk. The Chassam Sofer, in two places that I found, in the Sugyas, in Periklal Gadol, brings this Pnei Yeshua. And he says that I want to double down on this Pnei Yeshua. And I want to say an unbelievable Chiddush. He brings the Chiddush of the Chacham Tzvi, in Siman Pei Vav, where the Chacham Tzvi said that even though Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzis Shir Asim and HaTorah, but it's limited to Isuri Achila, because the Smekar to Chatzis Shir Asim and HaTorah is a Gemara in Yuma, Ayin Dalet Amin Aleph. And the Gemara over there says, it's learned from the Pasuk Kol Chelev, it says in Torah Naladi Chelev, but it says Naladi Kol Chelev. Kol is l'rabbis. Rabbi Yochanan derish the word kol kiyodua, and he was marber from the word kol chel of the rabbis. Even chatzishir. That's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Said the Chacham Tzvi that being that the makar to chatzishir asam and atayr is from the words kol chelav, and chelav is an isser achila. So the halach of chatzishir relates only to macholis asurois, but as it relates to other isurim such as Shabbos, which is not macholis asurois, it involves with bishul carrying toichin merah, but it's not. Eating, if it's not an Isser Achila, there's no Allah of Chatzis Shir Asim in our Torah. We mentioned that it's not only the Chacham Tzvi's Chiddush, the Tzlach, the Neid Yehuda. We said it over from Yisrael Chan Inspector, the Kovner Rav and his Ber Yitzchak. So this is a Yesod, although it's a big Chiddush, and it seems to be contradicted from Sugyas Ashas. But as we mentioned, the Poisek Adar in the 17th century and in the 18th century, and of the nice 300 years of Gedolei Hadar that were all felt very passionately, and they were willing to take on all the kashas with this yesoid that Chatzis Shir Asim and HaTorah is exclusive to Yisuri Achila. It doesn't relate beyond Yisuri Achila. So the Chassam Sofer here in Periklal Gadol, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, on that Gemara that we spoke about early in the week, v'chimuter le'efayis pachayis mekshay, see, he quotes the Chacham Tzvi, and then he says, v'yesh l'chalik b'ayfan achar. But I want to say something else. Listen to this. He says, yesh loymar, that although Rabbi Yochanan said Chatzis Shir Asim and HaTorah, maybe the only time it's true that Chatzis Shir is Asim and HaTorah is if it's a shir that's merumas in the pasuk of the Shivas Aminah. So if it's one of the shiurim of Eretz Chita V'Sa'irah, if it's one of those shiurim, then says the Chassam Sofer, Chatzis Shir is going to be Asim and HaTorah. But all the other shiurim, and he quotes the Pnei Yeshua, that the Pnei Yeshua was megalotos, that there are shiurim that have nothing to do with that pasuk, and seemingly have nothing to do with Halacha L'Moshe Messinai. Rather, Masron HaKosov L'Chachamim. Those shiurim that were Masron HaKosov L'Chachamim, over there, there's no Chatzis Shir that's going to be Asim and HaTorah. So says the Chassam Sofer, so if that's the case, I am going to be Moida B'Miktsa Sataina to the Chacham Tzvi and the Neid Yehuda and then later Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. But I'm not going to agree completely. I agree that as it relates to the Chilul Shabbos, the Lamites Melochos, that are not Oichlin, that are not Mefurish in the Pasuk, they're not Te'eno Kegroi Gris Lohitza Shabbos. With regards to those, I agree there's going to be no Chatzis Shir Asim and HaTorah. But as it relates to all the Isurim of Shabbos that are food related,
There, that there's a shir that was referenced in the pasuk. Te'enas kegregus leitzah Shabbos. There, I'm not willing to concede it. And over there, I disagree with the Chacham Tzvi. Over there is going to be a chatzit shiras min ha-Torah. But either way, the Chacham Sofer just did something epic. What the Chacham Sofer just did was he said that there's a sugya of chatzit shiras min ha-Torah, but this is tucked away, literally tucked. It's a small piece. Shabbos ayin dalon. It's a great maramakim where he says that the only time it's true chatzit shir is asim min ha-Torah. That's only if the shir is mefurish in the pasuk. It's merumas in the pasuk of the Shivas Amina, but if it's not merumas in the pasuk, you're not going to have this halacha of chatzis shir asim and atar. Just to digress from our digression, just to move it along with a little bit of pace, and that is again earlier in the week we spoke about the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi said an unbelievable chiddush. Again, not just the Chacham Tzvi, no, the Yehuda, the Yitzchak Chanan, Chacham Sofer was already made of a mikzas to the Chacham Tzvi's side. And that is that when it comes to Shabbos, it could be there's no chatzis shir asim and atar. Shabbos, there's no chatzis shir asim and atar. The Mechas Chinuch, in his Moisach HaShabbos, and Michas Chinuch talks about Chacham Tzvi a lot, but in his Moisach HaShabbos, he throws in literally two lines of Dover Nifla. He says that with this Chacham Tzvi, I think he can answer a Veltz Kasha. The Mishnah Lamelech's Kasha in his Droshes, in his Proshes Drachim. Everybody knows that the Avos kept Kala Taira Kula even before the Taira was given. Chazal say that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, Afilu Erev Tavshilim. Akev is Gematria 172. But the point is that Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. He even kept Erev Tavshilim. Freak the precious Drachim, a Bambakasha. He says, I don't understand. If Avram Avinu wanted to keep the Torah, that's great. He has a right to keep the Torah. However, at the end of the day, Avram Avinu had to be honest with himself and realize that he was a Ben Noach. Avram Avinu lived before the Torah was given. If he lived before the Torah was given, that means Avram Avinu was a Ben Noach. If Avram Avinu was a Ben Noach, even if he kept the Torah, it was L'chumra he had a right to keep the Torah. But certainly, L'kula, he had no choice but to reckon as being a Ben Noach. So he can go L'chumra as a Yid, he can go L'chumra as a Ben Noach. If that's the case, break the Prasad Drachim, had Avram Avinu keep Shabbos. A Yid has to keep Shabbos, true. But a Ben Noach is not allowed to keep Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara says, in Perek Arba Mises Bez in the Masachah Sanhedrin, Ben Noach she Shabbos chayiv Misa d'chsi v'yoy v'layla lo yishboisu. So break the Mishul Malach v'im Kain, how would the other Sakhtoshim able to keep Shabbos? And the Chanami, they wanted to go L'chumra. They wanted to keep Shabbos. It's very nice that they wanted to keep Shabbos. But who gave them a gerecht? Who gave them a recht to keep Shabbos? It's Yedua that Reb Chaim Briska had a big problem with this kasha. There's a lot of raid to answer this kasha. Reb Chaim said he never understood the kasha. He thinks the kasha is a toys. He says, because take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam brings this halacha in Hilchas Malachim, Perek Yud Halacha Tes. The Rambam says like this, Goy she'asak b'toyra, chayim miso. V'chein goy she'shavas, afilu b'yoy mi moysachol. The Radvaz, im also oisay la'atzmei kishabbos, chayiv miso. I'm skipping. Kloli shaldover, in the spirit of Klal Gadol. Kloli shaldover, ein manichin oisam l'chadish das, v'lasois mitzvois la'atzmei midaitam. We don't allow any Yehudim to create religions and make up their own mitzvahs. Ella, he has an ultimatum. O yia ger tzedek v'yikabel kol ha-mitzvois. O yamei b'toyrosoi v'lo yoysev v'lo yigara. V'im osak b'toyroi shavas. O yichidesh dovar. Makin oysev v'oynchen oysev v'maydiyin oysev shu chayiv mis. Says the Rambam, you know what the yisoid of an akim shavas chayiv mis is? Because he's creating his own little thingy here. What do you mean? You don't have Shabbos. Oh, you want to have a Shabbos? No. You're going to be chayiv mis. The yisoid of why an akim shavas is chayiv mis, kloloi shal dovar. We have a klal of the Rambam. In manichin oisay lechadish das. The last says mitzvah is la'atzma midaitam. So Reb Chaim said, v'ruyam advarim l'misha amram. When Avram Avinu kept the Torah, when Avram Avinu kept Shabbos, he wasn't making up a halacha. He says, I know I'm a ben noyach, but I'm going to be mechadish das. I want to have a day of rest. As a result, I'm going to pick Tuesday. That's the day I'm going to rest. That's not what Avram Avinu was doing. What was Avram Avinu doing? Avram Avinu was keeping the Torah. He was latching himself onto the das of Yehudi. That's what he was doing. He wanted to be a Yid. So he asked him, Yakasha, had he ever a right to go ahead and do that? On the tzadir, he's a guy. It's a good chap. It's a nice little cheshbin. But says Reb Chaim, it's flawed because the whole yisoid of the Goyish Shavas is based on the fact, that's not what Avram Avinu was doing. What Avram Avinu was doing was not being Mechadish Das. What Avram Avinu was doing was he was acting like a Yid. He wanted to behave like a Yid. So to the extent that what he was doing was behaving like a Yid, fakir, he was latching on to the Das Yehudis, not creating a Das that goes beyond the scope of Das Yehudis. It's poshut. He didn't have a din of an Akim Shashavas Chayim Misa. But that's Reb Chaim. Says the Mechas Chinuch HaMoisach HaShabbos. He says that according to this Chacham Tzvi,
Maybe you can say a teretz. How so? Because the Chacham Tzvi said that the only time a person is chayef if he does the Melecha Shabbos is if he does a shir. And even though Rabbi Yochanan holds chatzis shir asam in HaTorah, but there's no chatzis shir asam in HaTorah when it comes to Melecha Shabbos. We know that shiurim, the Rambam says in Hilchas Melachim, were given only to Yidin. Bnei Noach don't have any shiurim. There's no shiurim that were given to Ben Noach. We've spoken that many times, the Chasam Sofer's Kasha. Chasam Sofer says that the Rambam says that a katan Ben Noach that violates one of the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach is not chayav misa. He has nothing to worry about. Faith the Chasam Sofer and the Mechas Chinuch brings this Kasha, and then he says, Shuv Matzasi, he found that the Av Bezdin of Preshburg, he brings the Chasam Sofer, he says, beautiful Lashonis when he describes him. He says, ask this Kasha as well, Ubaruch Shekivanti. But this is known as the Chasam Sofer's Kasha and the Mechas Chinuch's Kasha, and that is, we just mentioned the Rush a little just short while ago, that says that Yud Gimel Mitzvah is Halacha L'Moish Misinai. So, Freit the Chasam Sofer, if the Rambam says that Bnei Noach don't have any of the Halacha L'Moish Misinai, so if that's the case, that means Bnei Noach don't have any of the Shiurim. If the Bnei Noach don't have any of the Shiurim, so that means there should be no Katan and Gadol when it comes to a Bnei Noach, because Yud Gimel Mitzvah is all based on a shir, which is halacha l'moish misinai. So if that's the case, how can the Rambam say that a katan ben noyach that does one of shiva mitzvahs ben noyach is going to be potter? Why should it be potter? There's no katan and gadol. Katan and gadol is based on halacha l'moish misinai. It's based on a shir, which is halacha l'moish misinai. They don't have the shir because they don't have the halacha l'moish misinai. But the bottom line is this. Bottom line is, says the Mechas Chinuch, the Rambam says that all the halachas l'moish misinai li Yisrael nemra v'loy l'ben noyach. Shiurim are from the halachas l'moish misinai. If that's the case, says the Mechas Chinuch, it comes out that a Ben Noach doesn't have any shiurim. Which means, says the Mechas Chinuch, if a Ben Noach would be Mechal Shabbos, would keep Shabbos, if a Ben Noach would keep Shabbos, but he would be Mechal Shabbos, Pachos Mikashir, so he would do Haitzah less than a Grogris. So says the Mechas Chinuch, he wouldn't be over the lav of Yom V'Layla Lo Yishpoisu. You know why? Because for him, he didn't keep Shabbos. Because he did a malach. What do you mean he did a chatzis shir? Yeah, but there is no such thing as chatzis shir for Ben Noach. So he says, I have the teretz. I solved the riddle. The Mishnah Melech said, how was Avraham Avinu able to keep Shabbos? Maman of Shach, it's true, he had a din of Yisrael, but he also had a din of Ben Noach. You know what he did? He was Mechal Shabbos, Pachas Mikashir. Avraham Avinu carried less than a grogris. That's what he did. Like the Chacham Tzvi, he was never Mechal Shabbos. He wasn't Mechal Shabbos because there's no chatzis shir when it comes to Shabbos. But at the same time, as his din Ben Noach, he did violate Shabbos. Because for Ben Noach, carrying, even Pachas Mikashir is considered carrying. So it comes out, he wasn't Mechal Shabbos, but he also didn't keep Shabbos. Perfect. That's exactly what we were trying to figure out. So says the Mechas Chinuch, that one thing you could be marviach with this Chacham Tzvi, at the very least, you'd be able to answer the Mishnah Melech's Kasha. Now, obviously, in Lamdus, it's a little bit tzarech bir, because at the end of the day, it's true that a goy doesn't have the halachos of shiurim. But at the end of the day, when we say that a goy that shavas is chayim misa, what does it mean, a goy that shavas is chayim misa? It means if he keeps a yid Shabbos. If a goy would keep a yid Shabbos, so then the halach is, it would be chayim misa. To the extent that a yid that does a malacha pachas mikashir, it's not chil Shabbos, then a guy who does malacha pachas mikashir, it's not considered a chil Shabbos either. Meaning, bishloimo, when it comes to the Sheva mitzvah b'nei noyach, these were mitzvahs that were given to the umayis ha'olam. These are their mitzvahs. In their mitzvahs, they have no halachis l'moish misinai. As a result, by extension, they don't have shiurim either. But Shabbos is not a guy's mitzvah. He doesn't have a halach in the Torah of Shabbos with a hilchah Shabbos, with a chelak gimel, chelak dal, and a mishnah brura, with a mesachah Shabbos that we're learning now. He doesn't have all that. And nor vas, whereas we need to observe it, he has to make sure that he violates it. No, what the halach says that we have a Hilchah Shabbos, we have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, and they have a mitzvah that they can't keep Shabbos. But the definition of their Shabbos should be dependent on the definition of our Shabbos. So if our Shabbos has a shir, then it would make sense logically in Svar that their Shabbos should also have a shir. Meaning where it's their own unique, exclusive mitzvah, yeah, it makes sense. They don't have the halachas, they don't have the shiurim, so they don't have a kezayis when it comes to Evim and Achai, for example. But this is not their mitzvah, it's our mitzvah. Their chayif to the extent that they infringe on our mitzvah. So the definition of the mitzvah for them should probably be dependent on whatever the definition of the mitzvah is for us. So that's a ha'ara on the Michas Chinuch. But the bottom line is, what we're coming out with today is a few very important yisoides. The first yisoides is the Pnei Yeshua, but the Pnei Yeshua seemed to draw a distinction between shiurim that are mentioned in that pasuk of Eretz Chita, Sa'ira, Geffen, Tein, Verimah. Usually you think in terms of the first part of that Gemara. Shiurim ha'ol halach l'meishim yisina. Yes, seven of them happen to have an asmachta in a pasuk. Says Pnei Yeshua, no, you can't just dismiss that. Seven of them have asmachta, the other ones don't. Sounds like from the Pnei Yeshua, the other ones might not even be Alachas L'Moshim Yisinai. It was just Masar HaKasav L'Chachamim. And then we have a Chiddush, Al Gabi Chiddush, from the Hilgich Sam Sofer, who says that it could be Chatzi Shir Asam in HaTorah. That's only for the seven Shirim that are mentioned in the Pasuk. But all other Shirim, any other Shir that you're going to find anywhere else, forget about it. Could be there's no Chatzi Shir Asam in HaTorah. The way he brings it is he introduces the Chacham Tzvi, who said that by Shabbos there's no Chatzi Shir Asam in HaTorah. He says, I'm going to be Moedib Miktsas. I think any Shiurei Shabbos that are related to Te'eno, which is Gregris Kishabbos, you will have a Chatzis Shir Asam in HaTorah. But all the other Shiurim on Shabbos, over there, you're not going to have a Chatzis Shir Asam in HaTorah.